Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
I'm really glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad that you're here. There is a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out if you are visiting with us. And you don't have to do that, but we'd love to know who you are. And there is a line on there that has got your email, and there's a box you can check if you'd like to be added to our email list. Don't forget, also, we have a Wiley Methodist app, which Billy alluded to earlier. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer down at this end. Would love to meet you and get to know you, and you can bring your blue card with you, or you can leave it there on your seat if you'd rather do it that way. We've got a free gift for you, though, out there, so would love to meet you. Some of y'all wanting a free gift. I mean, you've been here too long. You don't get the free gift. Also, I want to remind you to keep those registration slips passing down the aisle. We'd like to get you to register your attendance so we can love one another better. Matthew chapter 13 is where we are today. Usually the crying doesn't start till after I start my sermon. Come on, LaJuan, man. Pick it up over there, buddy. Get that bottle going. I don't mind crying babies. That's all right. Bring them on. Matthew chapter 13. This is, now, I've started here a few weeks ago, started putting in the bullet, in the insert, Jesus' words in red. This is Jesus telling the parable of the sower, what has become known as the parable of the sower, beginning in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered away because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Skipping down to verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Still the words of Jesus here. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. You've been invited, and we know that you are here. So now we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us in power and with authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series today, the sermon series of Go. The sermon series of Go. And today's message is go and bear fruit. Go and bear fruit. Cheryl and I, our house, we've been in our house about 11 years, and the soil in this area, we live just a few blocks over here, the soil in our area has got a lot of clay in it, and it makes growing things pretty difficult. Things manage to grow, but it's just kind of difficult. Well, we in the front of our house, we had this raised flower bed built kind of built into the house. And we had to bring in non-native dirt to fill that flower bed. And we also brought in a lot of different additives, nutrients to that area, compost, and I think you can, I've established you can say poop in church. It's okay. You know, poop, just different things to enrich. And some of you are going, I don't know if you can say that or not. We enriched that soil along the flower bed, and it's amazing how much different things grow in that soil up that we've established up in the flower bed versus out in the yard. When we had the house built, we went and Cheryl found some of these little $10 crepe myrtle little bushes, and they were probably about as big around as a finger, the trunk, and about so big and everything. And we planted some in the yard, which have done okay, but they've kind of, struggled a little bit. But the ones we planted in that, up in that flower bed, they're no longer crepe myrtle bushes. Okay, they became trees. Now one of them that's right in front of our main front window got so big we couldn't even see the street. So I dug it out a few years ago. I dug it out and got rid of it. But the ones along the edge we left, and they got, crepe myrtles, around here, they're supposed to be like these little things. These things were up above the house. I mean, they were just growing like crazy. And so it was last summer that we decided they need to come out. And so I first went out there and tried to dig them out, and the roots had become so big and so deep and so entrenched, I couldn't dig them out. And so then I thought, I'm just going to have to cut them off at the ground, and surely that'll kill them. So we cut them off at the ground, and them babies will not die. Cut them off at the ground, and they just started sprouting these shoots everywhere. And so we decided, we'll get some Roundup. We'll throw some Roundup. So, we just got pure. We didn't even mix it. It's just like... And they still kept sprouting. And we'd even put like black plastic over it to try to block the sun, and pots on top and all. And it's just, shooting up around the black plastic. Well, then a few months later, we decided, we're going to get serious about killing them crepe myrtles. So I got my drill and a big old bit, and I drilled down just big old nasty big old holes in that crepe myrtle trunk and poured some more Roundup down in there. And they're like, we're going to get it down in there. Guess what? We got crepe myrtle vines going everywhere. We can't get rid of them. Rich soil makes a difference. Rich soil makes a difference. This passage, I've got more out as I'm planning for this message today. I got more out of this passage than I think I ever have. So I want to kind of walk through and unpack this scripture today a little bit. The first thing is, Jesus is talking about this good news, this message about the kingdom. If you notice, he starts out and it says that. Let me find it. He talks about the message of the kingdom. Where does he do that? Anyway, I'm not finding it. I'm not stumbling onto it. But he's using this illustration of the seed, talking about this message of the kingdom. Now, so what is the message of the kingdom that he's talking about? Some of y'all are now trying to find that passage. It's there, I promise. In verse 18? There we go, 19. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom, yeah, there it is. So he's talking about that this message, this sower who's scattering seed on all these different types of soil is the message of the kingdom. So what is the message of the kingdom? And I think the message of the kingdom is very simple. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the seed, that God is love. And we complicate things so much in the church. We complicate things, and you got to dress this way, and you got to sing this way, and you got to do these traditions, and you got to do all these things. It's like, no, the message of the kingdom is simple. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to share. That's the seed that we have to share, that God is love. Now, in John 15, Jesus, again, his words, here's what he says. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. So first of all, I want to stop there. You are chosen by Jesus with a purpose. I want that to sink in for a second. You are chosen by Jesus for a purpose. And he goes on to say that purpose is to bear fruit. We are chosen. Did you know that? We think too many times that the Christians think we're chosen so that we can go to heaven. Well, that's a great benefit. I like that. I like that. But no, Jesus is saying, no, I chose you to go and bear fruit, to go, to do something, to be active. Fruit that will last, he says. And then he goes on to define what that fruit looks like. This is my command, love each other. Love each other as I have loved you. So the message of the kingdom that he's talking about and the chosen task, purpose for us is to love others as Jesus has loved us. Hello, is this on? Are we hearing that? That's the purpose of Christians. That's the purpose of the church. That's why Jesus chose us to go and bear that kind of fruit. So if that's the good news, if that's the message about the kingdom, as I was going through this passage, again, I kind of different things jumped out to me in a way. There is opposition to that message. Somebody say opposition. There's opposition to that message that God is love, that the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is opposition to that. So there's three different oppositions that Jesus speaks of that I want us to talk about. What are the enemies? What is the opposition of the good soil? The first one he mentions is a lack of understanding. A lack of understanding. Jesus says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So a lack of understanding. And why do we have a lack of understanding? Because we don't read God's word. It's one of the primary things. We don't understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ because we don't read the word. And I'm not saying we, like I'm not pointing at you. I'm like Christians. We don't read the word. We're not in the word. So we're relying. I call it it's kind of a buffet line of theology. That's what we have in our culture. It's like we kind of walk down the buffet line of theology and we go, I like that one, but I don't want the green beans. We select. I don't know why I'm even telling this, but remember when they had Luby's? It was back before my wife trained me on what different types of food groups. I thought there was basically one type of food groups, well, actually two, I guess, meat and potatoes. That was my two food groups. And I'm not kidding you, I went with a friend of mine, we went to Luby's, and I'm go through the line and everything. We and it's back, it was Furs, wasn't it, when you could pick, I think it was Furs. Anyway, so I sit down, and he looked, and I'm picking the stuff I want, and it was an all-you-can-eat, one price, you know, and he looks over at my tray, and he goes, you got four kind of potatoes on your tray. That's a true story, man, I'm telling you. And of course, I was young and ignorant. I was like, well, that's what looked good. I have no idea why I just told that, but anyway, it was a true story. So, but thank you, Jim. Get me back onto the sermon there. We do. We select what we, you know, we piece together our theology, and we piece together what we think the Christian life is about, and we piece it together from what mom and dad may or may not have told us and what our friends, our neighbors, and our coworkers, and what we're learning on TV and in movies and you know, History Channel, whatever it is. We piece together all this stuff, and we form this worldview and this theology based on all of that. And Jesus is saying, lack of understanding is an enemy to the soil. Pause for emphasis. Lack of understanding. When we don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we don't put those things in and renew our mind, the Lord says that we are our mind is to be renewed. How do we do that? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Lack of understanding is an enemy to the good soil. Secondly, Jesus points out that trouble and persecution are enemies of the good soil. Troubles and persecution. Jesus said, the one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. Now, I've seen it so many times, not just in ministry, but just as a person. You see somebody that they have some sort of an emotional experience, and they get fired up for the Lord and all, and because they don't continue to fertilize the soil, because they don't continue to enrich the soil, when things come, they fall away. Anybody see that? Anybody ever seen that? We've seen people that when trouble and persecution comes, because there's no depth there, and again, that depth goes back to not being in the Word, not being in fellowship with God's people. I hear this one too in ministry. I hear people say, well, you can be a Christian and not go to church. Yeah, but not a very good one. I mean, and now y'all have heard this, if you've been here very long, you've heard my example before, but people ask me, do you play golf? Are you a golfer? And I say, yeah. But I played a few months ago. It was the first time in 3 years. So am I really a golfer? We're Steve. Last time Steve had a smart aleck remark about that. But I mean, really, if we're walking with the Lord, I mean, we're working at it. We're not working for our salvation, but we're working to be closer to fertilize the soil, to enrich the soil, so that when trouble and persecutions come, we have depth. You know, life can be tough. Things can happen in the blink of an eye. Last week, and Billy talked about our friend Lee Butler. You know, last week I was all geared up. I was ready to watch the Cowboy game. It was Sunday afternoon. I already had my Sunday afternoon nap. I was ready to go, fixing to go get me some Taco Bell and you're firing up the game. And I get a call from Lee Butler, and he goes, I've done it now. I've fallen and broken my ankle. I mean, you know, and that's just one look. I mean, it's just that quick, things change. Of course, you know, with Lee's condition, he can't tend to himself in those situations. When trouble and persecution comes, do we have depth to our soil? Is our soil shallow? Trouble and persecution can be enemies to the good soil. And thirdly, enemies of the good soil can be worry and deceitfulness of wealth. Now, this one really jumped out at me. Worry, it doesn't say wealth. It says deceitfulness of wealth. Now, what worry is kind of self-explanatory. When we trust something other than God for the provision in our lives, we worry about it. How many besides me can be known to worry? Any of us? Anybody else? When we're worrying, we're saying that I trust the circumstances more than I trust you, Lord. That's really what worry is. Now, I want to move on to the deceitfulness of wealth. It doesn't say wealth, because it's not a sin. It's not a detriment to be successful and to have be blessed financially. That's not the problem. The problem is when we begin to trust in that, in the wealth, the deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of this life. Those things can choke out the fruitfulness of the good soil. So it's interesting to me how I don't know. I guess I just never slowed down on this passage and really understood it the way I did this time. But we must nourish the soil, because those old things, the path and the thorns and the shallow ground, all those things they're enemies to the good soil. So, lastly, I want to end with this. How do we enrich our soil? You know, Cheryl and I mean, with those crepe myrtles, and that's what it says in the Word, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to tell you, I was trying to kill and destroy those crepe myrtles. To them, I was the enemy. But they were in such rich soil with such deep roots. No matter what I did to them, no matter how big the hole was I drilled, no matter how toxic the chemicals I put on it, I could not kill out those crepe myrtles. Don't you want to be like that with Jesus? Don't we want that? No matter what the world throws at us, we're in rich soil. You may, you know, and I will say this, the crepe myrtles were none too, what's the word, none too better for wear or whatever they, I mean, they were damaged. I mean, we put a hurt on them. But I mean, you drill them and you chemical them and you cover them, and man, those shoots just coming out. We could not stop the growth. So how do we enrich our soil? And I believe, as I was thinking about this, I believe this goes back to our purpose statement for our church. Anybody, please, somebody tell me they know what that is. All right. Love God, love people, and offer Christ. So what exactly does that mean? And I'm going to hit this very quickly. To love God is to worship Him, to study His Word, I use this word very specifically, to talk to Him. Prayer is what we normally say, but prayer, we tend to translate prayer that means I want to talk to God. But how about listening to God? Talking and listening, this two-way communication. So, in other words, to love God is about relationship, just being in relationship with Him. And that gets back to, you know, the statement, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Man, I need you. And I hope that we need one another. To love God, and that loving God begins by knowing just how much He loves you. That's when things change for me, when I realize that it's not about what I'm doing for God, it's about what He has already done for me, about His great love for me. So we enrich our soil by having this ongoing, deep relationship with God. And secondly, to enrich our soil, we love people. Just, you know, I was thinking, it starts with, I believe it starts with our families, people, our loved ones. If we're not loving those at home well, that's not good. I was telling you, and I know to my family, they know the real me, and I stumble and fall all the time. But if I'm loving y'all really, really well, and I'm a horrible husband and a horrible daddy and a horrible grand, it would mean nothing to them. We see right through that kind of stuff. If you're talking a good game out here and you're not taking care of your family, loving your family, man, we can see right through it. Loving our coworkers. I mean, you know, and I've been in the business world, and I know sometimes it's hard to love the ones you go to work with every day. I know sometimes there's some knuckleheads that are hard to love. Loving strangers, just people, just being kind to people. You know, again, in Romans it says that it's the kindness of the Lord that draws us to repentance. It's not scolding. It's not winning arguments. It's not, you know, having the most convincing post on Facebook. It's loving people. That's what draws people to Christ. When they go, hey, that guy professes to be a Christian and he's acting like it, I think I might want some of that. So loving people is powerful and enriches our soil. And to offer Christ is to serve Him and represent Him well. You know, I'm trying really hard to get out of using a word that I used forever when I communicate to y'all about things going on, and that word is volunteer, because nowhere in Scripture are we called to volunteer. Hello. Somebody find it and show it to me, and I can be corrected. But I realized this a few years ago, that we're not called to volunteer, we're called to serve. We're called to serve. So, went to say, I'll volunteer to do that. It's like, that's like optional. No, Jesus said, serve. He's the suffering servant, and we're to be like him. So when we offer Christ, when we go, and I know some of you ladies have painted on our house over there in the last couple of weeks at the Houses for Healing. It's like, you're not painting houses. You're loving people. You're offering Christ. You may be doing it with a paintbrush, but you're offering Christ when you do those things. When you go to the serve at the food pantry, you're not just stuffing sacks and hauling groceries out to the car. You're offering Christ. You're saying you're not forgotten. Jesus hasn't forgotten you, and neither have I. I mean, man, that's can you just feel the rich soil that comes from those kinds of things? And what happens is this that contributes to the shallow, thorny and rocky soil is we get busy and we just get tied up in our own stuff. And it's like we're so consumed with the stuff going on in our lives and we stop this loving God, loving people, and offering Christ, and our soil gets shallow. Our soil gets shallow. Jesus wants us to have, he's trying to teach us in this parable, he's trying to teach us about rich soil, deep and fertilized soil. So if you would just bow your head with me. I ask that you convict us, Lord, and start with me. Show me where my soil is shallow. Show each of us. Father, we want to be like those crepe myrtle trees. No matter what the world throws at us, we want to have runners that keep peeking up behind the plastic. We want to be rich and vibrant. We want to bring you glory. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you showed us the way. You didn't just talk a good game, but you demonstrated to us good soil. You demonstrated to us how to serve. Let us be like you. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.